Fast Cars, Fast Girls podcast with Abby and Molly. We got a little Christmas cheer going with the Beach Boys today.
Kind of needed. It's a little cold today.
It's a little chilly. The temperature dropped here in Indianapolis.
Yeah. Christmas is coming.
Winter is here. It dropped hard. It was upper 50s yesterday. Nice.
Yeah,
the sun
was
out. Yeah. We got a little windy in the end of the day, but yeah, it was nice. And then today, woke up, walked outside.
Nope.
Quite brisk.
A little cold today. A little cold today.
A little chilly.
Well,
so, we hope you're staying warm wherever you're listening from.
And let's warm up the tires.
Let's warm up those tires. Speaking of staying warm.
Staying warm. So today we're going to talk some news, just some IndyCar news, and we're going to head over to Shit We Didn't Make Up.
Indeed.
Talk about our women crush today, and then we're going to have some people on to talk about the audible flagging system, which is a really cool thing, and we're excited to learn all about it, and hopefully you all can learn about it with us.
Yeah.
Okay, we are so thankful for Frank and Missy from the Indy Sports Car podcast to come on and talk with us about the Audible Flagging Project. You guys have been kind of spearheading this on for a while now, haven't you?
Missy, take it.
Joined up with the Audible Flagging System. Their creator, Dave, came up with a genius idea, I guess we thought, that, you know, everything in sports car racing, IndyCar, open wheel racing is all visual. Everything is visual. Flags, you know, you got to see the flag and all that.
Even in an invisible
on the steering
car.
Wheel. Right, yeah, there you go. The safety car, yeah. Visual safety car.
Virtual safety car.
Yeah.
Even the visual car that doesn't exist is visual.
So everything's visual, you know, steering wheel with lights, you know. The audible flagging system is basically using one of the other senses that is not used as often. You only use one earpiece. So the other earpiece, it comes in an earpiece form and some, you know, and then it also comes in for the car itself. Mm-hmm. But
it's external.
Okay.
Beeping sound.
Yeah. So once the flag comes out, it's all connected to the iCar system, mm-hmm. Which, you know, every race car has. It's connected with the iCar system, so it's just a plug and play.
Cool.
So once the yellow is initiated, you'll hear a tone in your ear, or, you know, sports cars, you'll hear the tone go off in the car. It's adjustable, you know, the tone, so it won't scare the crap out of you as you're driving. But yeah.
Oh my God, the yellow.
Yeah. Yellow comes out, the tone will go off. Our hope is all positions will be frozen. No more passing, you know, because everybody sees or everybody hears the tone at the same time, and you can't say, oh, I didn't see the yellow flag. So it's just one of those things, an extra precaution, you know, because most incidents, I guess, that are, you know, result in death or, you know, serious injury are secondary incidents. So mm-hmm. that's what we're trying to cut down on is the secondary incidents after a yellow comes out.
Okay.
80%. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
80%. And
88.
Oh, thank you. And for
that's a huge number.
Yeah, that's very huge. And for people like my mom who listens to this podcast, could you explain what a secondary incident is?
Oh, secondary incidents. Yeah, sure.
No worries.
It's just an incident that occurs after the caution has already come out, and then you have, you know, a car, you know, someone didn't see something, and mm-hmm. then you have a second accident that results after that.
Thanks. I know if somebody didn't explain it,
I
get a note from my mom.
Well, I mean, just think about it. Okay. You know, you have 25 guys on a track racing. They're in that zone. And everything's visual,
mm-hmm.
right? So you add that extra, you know, notification. It's not replacing anything.
Mm-hmm.
It's not taking over anything. It's, you know, it's not taking away anything.
Mm-hmm.
What it's doing is adding to what they already have. So instead of 25 drivers finding out that there's a full course yellow at 25 different times, mm-hmm. like, you know, car in front of you brakes, you don't know why, boom. That secondary right there, you know, you can just go back and think of the real bad ones in the recent, maybe last decade. And, they're all secondary,
mm-hmm.
you know, think about it.
Yeah.
Just 3 years ago. Anyway, that was the biggest one. That's the one that, it was like 9 seconds or 10 seconds. So, yeah, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
But my point being is this... this audible system, basically all 25 drivers will instantaneously know that there's a full course yellow, mm-hmm. no matter what. Not only them, but the crews, all the safety teams, the Homolzer team, the mm-hmm. you know, the track team, the pace car, everything. Everybody will know, even the fans, though there's an app the fans can download. It's free, and they'll even know.
Okay.
You
know? Yeah.
Because it plays in the background. So it's very integratable. It's very, you know, it just makes a whole lot of sense, really. Yeah.
Absolutely. Now, you're referencing the full course yellow. Is that the only time that the audible yellow flag would sound, is during a full course yellow?
Right now, mm-hmm. I mean, it can be programmed to do anything. It could change up the beeps, or and for the hearing impaired, the vibrating, right? Because we also have that. Okay. So, you know, some people are deaf, you know, in one ear or the other. So they obviously, you need the other ear to talk to their engineer. Mm-hmm. So their deaf ear, it'll vibrate, you know. We've even thought of that, so that's wow. taken care of.
Yeah.
And yes, so
It does have the capacity to. I'll cut Frank off.
I'm sorry. I am a
rambler. So you just have to cut him off.
All righty.
Yes, it does have the capacity to, you know, make a different tone. If it's just like a local yellow, it does have that capacity to be able to do that, yes.
Okay.
So by the way, the answer to your question was yes.
And you've talked about it kind of being a layer over. So there's, I mean, you know, the communication between with drivers between their crew and everything else. So this just kind of sits on top of that as a different, I don't want to say form of communication because it's really not, but just a different, well, I guess it's a form of communication. So it sits on top of everything else, wholly separate.
Well, it's a notification. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just a extra form of notification.
Okay.
That you would get from, you know, flagman, your engineer, anything else visual. But
okay.
when you're doing 200 and some miles an hour, you have tunnel vision, so you figure drivers see about 5 feet to like 13 feet in front of them and about mm-hmm. maybe a 4.5 foot wide box in front of them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's about it, you know, when you're going at speeds like that. So you don't really see too much. It's all a blur. So... You know, that's kind of why this kind of happens. And plus, you know, you're on a 4 mile long road course.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the full course yellow comes out in turn 11. You're in turn 3. You know, the engineer for the guy in front of you lets him know, but you're not looking at the flagman at them because you don't see any problems. And then, boom, you hit them. Oh. I mean, it happens all the time.
Okay,
I mean,
absolutely.
Lime Rock and Pearly World Challenge last year, perfect example of that exact scenario.
Okay.
Yeah, so this would ensure that everybody's notified of the yellow at the exact same time.
Yeah, and then that tells everybody, okay, what's going on, and lift.
Okay.
Yeah. You lift your foot. Because what it does, what the, you know, the rules will have to change to where as soon as that beep is sounded, you know, positions are frozen. So, it, you know, there's no reason for drivers to act like they didn't, mm-hmm. you know, oh, I didn't see any notification or anything. Okay. And they can't even spot or two.
Okay. Now, would this be ran by, you know, race control? Would there be somebody there kind of manning a button, I guess, is the lack of a better term?
Well, it's already in place.
Oh, okay.
The way the ICAR system is implemented
mm-hmm.
is what triggers this system.
Okay.
It's a plug and play. It's the ICAR system, and then this is powered by the ICAR system. So
awesome.
When a signal gets shot to the ICAR system, it blinks those yellow lights on the dash.
Oh,
well,
wow.
This will initiate the audible flagging system at the same time. So the control of the notification is already implemented and in place.
Wow, that's...
We're just adding to it.
That's really good. So, when you guys keep saying plug and play, you legitimately mean, like, plug it in and everything is ready to go. That's great.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean,
yeah.
The creator of the... of the in-car system.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't say it right that time.
That's okay.
I'm sorry. Missy, what was it called again? I'm sorry. I want to get the right name right.
What? The audible, what are you talking about? Audible flagging system or iCar?
No, the iCar. Thank you.
Yeah, iCar.
The iCar system is literally in every race car in series in the world. And you know, he's exclusively and like personally involved and invested in this company of the audible flagging system.
Awesome.
And that's why it's a plug, and that's why it's a plug and play for his system and any future upgrades to his system.
That's fantastic. That's kind of like so many less hurdles to have for this to be implemented. Awesome. Have you guys, I know I was reading somewhere that, and I might have read it wrong, so correct me if I'm wrong, that in March they maybe tested it with the Pirelli race. Is that true? Did I read that wrong?
No.
That's true.
Oh, awesome. Yeah,
it was in place in the entire series, I believe, right, Frank?
This year was the first year that a series since the year 2000 to 2001, which was Renault 2.0,
mm-hmm.
Has used it in their series for the entire season.
Oh, great.
And I'll be happy to report that the Pirelli World Challenge was, you know, probably one of the least, you know, I mean, have we didn't hear really much out of the system or system series as far as, you know, major crashes or were concerned. So
okay.
I'm not going to say that was a huge, you know, benefit to that system, but the secondary incidents were next to none there.
Okay.
So this year.
So was there some sort of audible system in the past?
Oh yeah, this system has existed for almost 20 years.
Okay.
So why do you think that it's not as widely used?
Because the chassis manufacturers and the car manufacturers, they make a lot of money on replacement parts, wings and body panels and, you know, all different types of car. I mean, how many wings does New Garden go through a race, honestly? So think about it. You know, when you put a system in place where you bring 88% of all, you know, incidents that happen after an incident, you know, down dramatically into the single digits, that's a lot of money lost in broken pieces of cars.
Hmm.
So they lose money on a projected amount of money they're supposed to make in replacement parts, and that was why it was kicked out of Renault 2.0 back in 2001, because whatever chassis manufacturer that was back then, I don't know, you'd have to ask Dave about that specific piece of information, and then he was blackballed out of racing throughout all the series after that.
Wow. Okay.
That's but all of those people are now out, and new minds are in, you know, a new generation is now taking over the racing industry with safety first and Pirelli. And we're going to be happy to report a few other series coming up in the next few months.
Awesome.
But it's catching on, and it really is like, it has to be in every series. It has to be in every car.
Well, you kind of fed into my next question was, are you guys, and obviously probably at this point you can't say anything, but you're working on getting it implemented in other series?
Oh, yeah, in every series.
Awesome.
I mean, all the way down to karting for little kids. I mean, it's literally app-based, so you can go as far as, you know, just, you know, like the six-year-olds racing the karts, they can have it, you know, just because of their iPhone.
Oh, cool.
You know, and like, you know, a Bluetooth earbud or whatever.
Hmm.
And it's all app based. So there you go.
That's really good.
We went all the way down in, as if it's racing, they have it. So.
Okay.
Yeah, that's our biggest thing. Our hashtag we have is Drivers Lives Matter. So
thank you for that. Yes, that's always important. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and that is the 100% goal here is to, you know, try to, you know, If it exists and it can help, I don't see why it's not implemented. That's, you know, but, you know, I just kind of told you why it's not.
Well,
thankfully, you know, more progressive minds are taking over, and that's a big, big deal.
So it's been in Pirelli now this year, and you kind of hinted everything seemed okay. Have any of the drivers or teams give you any feedback on them using it this past season?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, some of the biggest names in Pirelli were the driving force behind it.
Okay.
You know, because just think about a fighter pilot jumping into an F-18.
Sure.
And, you know, as he's taken off, they're like, oh, by the way, you're, you know, that missile guidance system that tells you when the missile's coming. Mm-hmm. And it's not working, but just look around.
Yeah.
You know, just visualize the missile, you know, the missile. You'll be fine. He's just going to land and say, I'm not flying it until you fix it. I'm sorry. You know, it's the same thing.
Sure. So there are, do you anticipate them continuing to use the system then is what it sounds like?
Oh, yeah. We've been doing tests with them on a probably maybe once or twice a month now.
Okay.
Ever since the season ended. So we're still testing with them and other series as well.
Sure. Yeah. Sure. Awesome.
You know, they want to see the system work, and that's the most important thing.
Cool. Well, we could go, I think, goodness, what's the website address for it? Or I think if you just search audible flagging too, but do you guys know the website off the top of your head? I don't have my phone on me.
You're fine.
No, it's okay.
It's www.audibleflagging.com.
Okay.
Twitter, it's at audible flagging. Facebook, at audible flagging.
Yeah. And I think
check it out. A lot of information there. And any questions anybody has, we're more than happy to answer.
We actually did a podcast on it, too. So
yeah.
With Jay Green. So I'm not sure if anyone's familiar with him. He did have Jay Green. Was it? Jay Green Motorsport.
Was,
there you go. In MRTI. Yeah. He was an engineer this year for...
Okay.
Help me out here. The Canadian team.
Exclusive.
There you go. Exclusive Autosport.
Yeah, Parker Thompson.
I think if you, and I was glad to hear you guys said you can work on the tone, because I went to listen to it, and I'll tell you what, it did startle me, but I'm probably,
yes.
I'm not a driver.
That was the first thing I said. I'm like, is there a volume button in that thing? He's like, of course.
You.
I'm like, okay, But I mean, hey, he's not a videographer. He just built the system. He doesn't know how to videotape him using it. You know what I mean?
On top of, you know, all of the other race noises, that's probably not as loud as like you or I or anybody else would think it is. But, you know, it probably has to be loud enough to come over the car noise and everything else. So it might be fine for drivers. It did startle me.
Oh, yeah.
So I would have slowed down.
Yeah. I mean, in a quiet room, with the siren that goes inside of the sports car. I mean,
yeah.
It's very loud. But if you've ever been in a sports car at full speed, I mean, that thing is freaking loud in there. Like, the decibel levels are reaching 80 to 90 in there. So, and again, it has a volume. So,
yeah.
You know, as you're doing, you know, a practice lap or whatever that weekend, you adjust the volume to where you can hear it. It
sure.
won't startle you. You're good to go. I mean.
Yeah.
It's kind of user's choice, you know?
Do you think one of the thoughts we had when we were kind of talking about this is that it's going to take – do you think it will take a bit of a culture change with the implementation of this to kind of make sure
– Oh, definitely.
Yeah? Yeah. Okay.
And you know, when it came out 20 years ago, the culture change hadn't happened yet.
Yeah.
Right now it is. It's starting to happen. It hasn't happened fully yet, but as time goes on, you know – people become in charge of more things, and you know, safety has been at the forefront more and more and more as you know, younger generations are taking over. So,
yeah, you got the Halo coming out next year,
yeah.
You know, which I'm not a personal fan of the Halo, but I'm for the hour screen. But I mean, IndyCar is testing the hour screen apparently, so
yeah.
I mean, safety
yeah, I mean,
is becoming more and more, you know, of an issue with, yeah.
Okay.
Accidents that have happened
yeah.
in recent years, if you will. You know, so, I mean, safety, you know, is a big issue right now. So I think this is coming out again,
mm-hmm.
you know, since it was already out once.
yeah, reemerging.
At the perfect time, you know, just more and more, you know, safety features.
Yeah, and I think that's a good thing. And something Molly and I talked about in addition to, like what you said, Frank, you know, with the, and Missy, the, you know, the culture of safety and the sport changing in general. We also discussed just kind of the culture of driving on the track, you know, because all these drivers, when they're driving as fast as they are, they have to be able to trust everybody else on the road. And once everybody knows about the yellow right away, I feel like there's sometimes hesitation in the front drivers. They want to avoid the damage, you know, the danger themselves. But if they slam on the brakes, they could very easily get rear-ended. And so with this, it would, like you said, I mean, prevent those secondary accidents. And so I feel like it would create just a safer culture around all the drivers as well, and them trusting their teammates and knowing that they all have the information at the same time. So if I slam on the brakes, nobody's going to plow into the back of me because they didn't see the yellow.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you know, it's funny. You know, we've been doing this with Dave for what, Missy, about almost 2 years now? Close to it? Maybe a year and a half. Right. And I race, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I mean, there's a Porsche wheel in front of me right now. My point being is, when there's a full course yellow, like, you know, we were racing at Pocono, we were full speed and everything. Okay, bad example of a track, but yeah, it's the truth. I was racing at Pocono, and this is when I thought about it. A full course yellow came out. I don't know why, but everybody just knew about it, and it just dawned on me, like, I've been doing this for 5 years. Like, you know, I just never thought about it until, you know, Dave brought it up, like, you know, they don't do that in real life.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Like, wait, they really should. Like, it just made so much sense. But then after, you know, we were really good friends with Justin for a few years before we even started the show, 3 years ago. And so that was a big deal to us. So when we heard about this, we did it, you know, solely on based on the fact that we don't want to ever see that happen again.
Sure.
Because it was that incident alone, this system, I believe 100% would have, you know, he'd still be around.
You guys really believe in it. I think it goes back to the wonderful hashtag that Missy said, driver's lives matter, you know.
Yeah, it's not just it's not just they're out there for our entertainment, and if anything happens, it's collateral damage. You know, we want to make sure that our drivers are safe so that we can continue to watch them race for years and years to come.
Yeah, and you said something very interesting about the culture when you asked that.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just thinking about, like, 20 years ago, the culture was, yeah, it crashes, woohoo, right? 20 years later, I think even the casual race fan, right up to the hardcore race fans, they're starting to more appreciate the racing for what it is, and they don't want to see crashes. When they see a crash, it's like, no, that's not what I want to see. I want to see everybody finish. I want to see some great racing, but mm-hmm. and that's what IndyCar is all about, is great racing without crashing. That's the whole point.
Yeah, I think
that's the excitement of it.
I think you're absolutely right. I can remember way back when, you know, everybody did like the crashes. That's what people went to see. And now you're right. It's the sportsmanship. It's the great passes. It's, you know, the photo finishes and not these huge accidents. I think you're absolutely right. I think there's a culture shift happening even in fans. Yeah.
Exactly. And that's pretty much what basically this system has been waiting for. And it's almost here. And, and we've been seeing that in other series, you know, jumping on board, and basically at the constant nagging of the drivers, you know, telling the series they want it.
So,
you know, I mean, you know, I'm not going to name a bunch of names, but a lot of the top names in Pirelli really, I mean, made that happen. And that was a huge step for us.
Good.
That's wonderful.
I mean, I know that you guys are still in the beginning stages, but could you timeline? How long do you think it'll take before you guys can get this in the bigger, and, you know, in IndyCar, and I don't know whom all you're talking to, but in the other series? Thank you.
I mean, it's all about trying, you know. How fast can we get the word out?
Yeah.
How fast can we get everybody who gets behind the wheel of a race car saying, I really want this, and, I really want this for my own safety, for my own, you know, because I feel a lot safer then. And, it, you know, once it gets to that, you know, the drivers control the sport at the end of the day, really. You know, if they have a big, huge concern about safety, I mean, you know, they can just say, no, we're not going to. I mean, it's that simple. So, I mean, how long? Who knows? I mean, when we started doing it, we thought a couple years, and it was about 6 months later. So,
wow.
I mean, really never know.
Yeah.
I mean,
I would like to see it within the next 5 years.
Okay.
That would be
good. Everywhere.
Awesome. Yes. Awesome. I think that's...
I mean, crazy as it sounds, like a 10-minute spot on the NRF1 podcast about 4 months ago or so?
Yeah.
Yeah, that 10 minutes triggered a very huge step forward for the Audible Flagging System.
And wonderful.
It's just, you never know. So that's why, we can't thank you enough for inviting us on your show to talk about it, because we've talked about it a bunch of times on our show, but if you start repeating yourself, people don't want it.
If you drill
something in somebody's head, they're like, okay, I get it. It's nice to come on other shows and talk about it, because we're very passionate about it. So
you guys are, and I'm gonna speak for Abby and say, we're very thankful that there are people out there trying different ways, trying new ways, trying good ways to protect these drivers. And I think when it comes down to it, everybody wants to see drivers get into the car, run the race, and get out of the car safely. And I think things like this are amazing, amazing. And I'm so happy that you guys are really pushing it.
Well, I mean, we have to thank Dave Skeen first and foremost for coming up with the system. I mean, because if it hasn't been for Dave Skeen's, everything he has, put into the system to get it out there. I mean, every small victory is a huge victory, really.
Good. All right. Well, why don't you guys plug one more time where they can find information about this?
That would be at www.audibleflagging.com. Again, we said at Twitter, it's at Audible Flagging. Yep. Facebook is Audible Flagging.
Awesome.
And you can always ask me, Frank, or, to hit the Indy Sports Car Podcast.
There you go. That's what I
want. On Twitter. There you go.
You guys also have a very good podcast, too, that everybody should check out as well. So wanted to also put that in there for you guys.
Oh, thank you. I'm a little small podcast.
Well, you're bigger than us.
We're not in competition.
No, there's no competition.
No, not at all.
But definitely give them a listen, too. Definitely. Guys, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you for having us.
Yes, thanks for having us.
We're back after that interview. Thanks again to Missy and Frank. I'm going to hit them one more time, even though they hit it three different times. The Twitter for Audible Flagging is at Audible Flagging, all one word, no anything in between. You can also, it's www.audibleflagging.com, and search Facebook, it should bring it up. Missy and Frank also on a podcast. It's the Indy Sports Car Podcast. And on Twitter, that they are at ISCP Podcast, all one word. That's a mouthful for me.
That is a mouthful.
But I wanted to plug them.
Yep. So check them out. Check out their social media. Give them a listen if you get a chance. Yeah. We're all just fellow IndyCar fans here. So
they were real helpful to us when we got it started.
They were. There's no competition here. So don't feel like you can't listen to them just because you're loyal to us.
Yeah. You can listen to everybody. Why not both?
Right? Why not everything? So, well, speaking of social media, don't forget to check out ours. As always, check out our Facebook page, facebook.com/fastcarsfastgirls, or simply search Fast Cars Fast Girls in the search bar of your Facebook page. You can also find us on Instagram, at Fast Cars Fast Girls. That's kind of a look behind the scenes and some of our pictures from races. We have a Twitter, at FastCarsN317, and that's IN. And there we interact with the fake Twitter community, some real drivers, and just share some news and noteworthy things that we find. And we officially have our website up and running.
We have it up and running!
We have it up and running. We said we'd do it. We did it. It didn't even take 6 months.
Yeah.
From when we started saying we were going to do it.
It might have taken 6 months.
No, it hasn't. We haven't even been... I mean, we've only been doing this for 6 months, so...
Well, okay.
Yeah.
But it's up now.
But it's up. So www.fastcarsfastgirls.com. So make sure you check it out. We've got all of our memes up. We'll be adding photos throughout the year of all the races and things that we go to. And we'll keep a gallery of that. So if you see us and you take a picture with us, you just may end up on the website. So for better or worse, but
fair use, public use, public domain.
Fair use.
I'm just going to throw make out sure all your words.
Right. So check it out. Molly's got a couple blog pieces up. Yeah. I'll be writing something in the next week or so. So you can keep up with things other than just the podcast. So I think that's it.
I think that's it for that part.
Make sure you subscribe. You can find us on iTunes and Google Play. You can find us on Podbean, Stitcher, Blurbery.
I'm working on others.
It's tune a whole in. Thing. All kinds of fun stuff. But anyhow, make sure you subscribe and give us a rating.
Yeah.
So five stars, please.
Would be helpful. And share us with your family. We're the share gift us, that rate, keeps review. On giving.
We are the gift that keeps on giving. So
much like chlamydia?
Well, yeah, I would say we...
Well...
We're not something you necessarily want to get rid of as fast as possible, though.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah. There's no cure for us.
There really isn't, though.
No.
So let's kind of flip to the news.
All right.
As far as IndyCar is concerned, the big thing this week is it's the performance racing industry. So that's the racing trade show, and it's here in Indy.
All right.
So all drivers, not just IndyCar drivers, but all drivers are here. A lot of motor pieces like shocks. I know a lot of, you know, the oils and fuels that they use because it's a whole thing in the convention center.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very cool. I bet that's quite the show to...
I know. I don't think the public can get in. It's one of the few...
Oh, I would bet not. I'm sure there's some trade secrets in there.
Yeah. I mean, I park right next to the convention center, and they've had police out in front of it since Monday. So parking has been fun.
Sounds like it.
Yeah. And then I just kind of stared at him like, but I feel like I should be able to get in.
But
do you know who I am?
Can I just get in?
Can I just look?
That'd be great. Thanks.
It is. Oh, but it's also the IndyCar annual driver meeting today.
It is the IndyCar annual driver meeting today.
There were some pictures out there on Twitter.
There were, so we got to see some of the people that were there.
Tried to figure out who everybody was, but there was still a lot of back ahead, so I'm...
Yeah, there were a few people that I didn't really recognize.
I was a little cranky about that.
So...
It was a little hard to see.
Yeah.
Everybody who's an IndyCar driver this season was there.
No, I don't think so.
So, I know it's mandatory, but there must be like a, whoops, I can't make it.
Yeah.
Because
I think it's just the meeting to explain everything that you need to get done before the start of the season.
Well, I know Sato's not there.
Yeah, Sato's not there. I don't believe I saw Simon Pagenaud there. Or no, he was there. Because he Instagrammed last night. That's right, he's in Indy.
Yeah.
I just didn't see him in a picture.
So we didn't have the greatest angles. We're just relying on everybody else's Twitter pictures.
Yeah.
So that's smart. That's how we get our news.
That's how we get our news.
Twitter.
And it's also... our favorite Canadian bird's birthday today.
Yay!
So, happy birthday to James Hinchcliffe. 31.
That's not that bad.
It's a prime number.
Your knees go bad first, James. It's fine.
Right.
They're the ones that start to go crack. It's fine. But happy birthday!
Happy birthday to James Hinchcliffe.
Very excited for that. I'm glad he's excited to spend it in meetings.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I wouldn't be spending my birthday in meetings, I'll tell you that.
You're like... Nah, I'm calling in.
Nope,
not happening.
Not doing it.
Mexico's not happening.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, Mexico is a firm no for this year.
Hard no.
It's a possibility in 2019, though.
Yes. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. But it's better that they called it no than try and rush to get something done.
Oh, I think so. I mean, because if you try to push it, then you end up... with a half-assed event, really.
Yeah.
And you set yourself up for failure.
Especially if it's a new track, you know, it's out of the country, that just won't end well.
Yeah.
Somebody else is getting robbed at the Taco Bell.
Yeah, somebody's getting robbed somewhere. Somebody is getting robbed somewhere.
Well, as far as IndyCar news, that's it. I'm expecting more announcements by the end of the week.
I am as well.
I think with everybody being here, with it being... Now's the time to make the announcements before the holidays. So.
Absolutely. I think we're going to have a bunch of announcements before the end of the year. So
yeah, we'll see.
Get them in before Christmas.
See what Santa brings.
See what Santa brings, everybody. For some of you, it may be a contract. For others?
It might not be.
It might be coal.
It could be coal.
Or worse.
Or worse.
I think you should scoot back so that we look like we're on the same plane.
Well, I have a cat.
I know. We can move her. You gotta move.
I mean, I'm sorry. Think we can.
I'm sorry. You gotta go.
Okay.
I know. Go ahead, look at me like that.
Sorry. The cat has invaded the podcast.
Yes, it has.
It happens.
Yes, she has. All right. So, what do you want to do next? Our Woman Crush Wednesday?
Let's do our Woman Crush Wednesday because
all right,
Simona Di Silvestro.
Simona Di Silvestro. I love her.
I do too. I also love that she's called the Iron Maiden.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I can really just stop there.
Yeah.
Because you know, to get that nickname, shit has happened.
Yeah, she's a badass.
She is a badass. So, kind of just to run through her pedigree, if we will. Her first win, I can't say that again. Her first win came in 2006 in the Formula BMW Championship. From 2008 to 2009, she raced in the Atlantic Championship, the Grand Prix of Long Beach. That was the first podium she got in that sport.
Oh, wow.
And then in 2009, she won 3 times and finished 3rd in the standings.
That's awesome.
And then after the Atlantic Championship, she wandered on over to IndyCar.
Good for her.
Where she did okay. It was kind of an up and down resume of IndyCar, I suppose.
Yeah.
You know, her first year, she got Rookie of the Year at the 500, and she finished 14th. That is the year for that Texas race in June where the car caught on fire.
Yes.
And
that's a horrendous video.
It's a horrendous video. We've watched it, like, once, and what's scariest is the amount of time it took for the safety crew to get there.
And to get her out of the car. Yeah. They had trouble getting her out of the car.
I mean, we've watched it once, and I can still just see images of it.
Yeah.
It's
harrowing.
It is. And then, so in 2010, she finished 19th in the series. Runner-up to Rookie of the Year. Alex Lloyd actually got Rookie of the Year that year.
For the whole series?
Yeah, for the series as a whole. I guess they do a series as a whole of Rookie of the Year. Obby.
Makes sense.
So, following 2010 is 2011, not the greatest year. That was the year she got caught up in a few accidents, including one in the 500. She also had a few issues with Customs and Border Patrol.
Oh.
Going into the Sonoma race, I guess U.S. Customs got concerned that she had so many in and out of country travels, and the agent kind of refused to believe that a woman could be a professional race car driver.
Wow, but that agent feels like an asshole.
Yeah, he can jump up his own butt.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just jump right up there.
Yeah.
And then following all of that came 2012, the year of the Lotus.
The year of the Lotus. What a CF that was.
That was just a CF. I think at the end she was the remaining Lotus driver. Yeah.
There were 2 that year.
I think 2 for the 500.
Yeah.
I think maybe 3 started the year in Lotus.
Yeah.
Yeah. And those Lotus drivers did not finish the 500.
They were actually disqualified because you have to maintain a speed that is race-worthy. You have to be within so many percentage points of the leader. And the Lotus cars could not keep up.
And they were not.
They qualified at, and it was a year that there were only 33 cars that attempted to get in, so there was no bumping. But their qualifying speeds were like 210.
Oh, wow.
Or 213 max, maybe, which is fast, but not compared to the rest of the field that is in the upper 220s.
Yeah, not for that race.
Not for that race.
No.
So, yeah, that was not a good year for Lotus. That was...
No, it wasn't.
Yeah, so that's too bad that she was in a Lotus that year.
Didn't they get DQ'd, like, shortly after the start of the race? Was this the one where they got DQ'd parade left? Or, like, right after?
Yeah. It was an instant disqualification. They basically just let them start for show.
Oh, that's lovely.
Yeah, they got to do the parade lap, and then I'm not even sure that they did one lap. I think that when the pace car ducked in, they did as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's lovely.
Maybe they did one lap, but yeah, it was short-lived.
Oh, awesome.
Quite short-lived.
Awesome.
Let's see, 2013.
Yeah.
October 5th, she was at the Grand Prix of Houston.
Mm-hmm.
She finished 2nd. Becoming one of only 3 women with a podium finish in IndyCar.
Awesome.
The other 2 being Danica Patrick and Sarah Fisher.
That's hopefully more women
get
that, but that's kind of a nice kind of thing to hold on to, I think.
To be one of 3 women to ever earn a podium in IndyCar, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, finished 2nd, that's awesome.
Yeah, the GP of Houston. Mm.
2014, she was an affiliated driver with, how do we decide to pronounce this?
Well, I think you and I pronounce it differently. I think I pronounce it
Sabre.
And you pronounce it Sabre?
No, there was somebody else that you pronounced Sabre.
I might have.
Yeah, that was you. I would not pronounce something Sabre. but Saber. it fell apart due to contractual issues.
Yeah.
2015, 2016, she did Formula E with Andretti Autosport.
Yeah.
In 2016, she became the first woman to score points when she finished 9th at the Long Beach E-Prix.
That is kind of cool.
That is very cool.
That's very cool with Formula E.
Yeah.
So, awesome.
So, yeah.
And now, presently, from 2015 to present, she is in the Supercar Championship. And something that's really awesome is that she, every now and then, will team up with another female racer, Renee Gracie. And so they'll run in the Supercar Championship together.
Hmm.
Yeah. And to kind of tie in on what we've been continually talking about as far as this bullshit sexual segregation, she is quoted by saying, "Gender doesn't matter when you're going 225 kilometers an hour into a turn."
True story.
It does not.
It does not. It
does not. So that is our Woman Crush of Wednesday. It's Simona DeSilvestro. And she's pretty badass.
She is pretty badass.
And she's still out there racing, so definitely support her.
Give her a cheer.
Yeah, because she's pretty awesome.
She's pretty awesome. Yeah, she's a good driver.
Yeah.
I would have loved to see her in a better IndyCar seat. I would love to see her back in an IndyCar seat as well.
I know. I'd like to see her back for one of the 500s at least.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really enjoyed watching her race.
She's not bad. She's a good racer.
Yeah, she is.
Come on back, Simona.
Come on back.
Come back to the
moment. We'll cheer for you.
Yeah, we will.
Shit we didn't make up.
I fell into the Google wormhole the other day.
Went down the rabbit hole.
It happens. Guys, it happens.
It does.
You start on one article, and then 3 hours later, you're like, well, how did I end up here? And I think it was something about, like, things you didn't know about the 500, and I was like,
We'll see about that.
Think again. Which, actually, I didn't, and so we'll cover that one in a couple of weeks. But it was before I was born, so I feel like I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
But then I ran into various things that are considered unlucky for race car drivers. And something that I was completely shocked about is that peanuts are considered unlucky.
Oh.
An unlucky legume.
Really? Why? Yes.
So it's not peanuts themselves. So you can have peanuts at a racetrack. You can have things like, you know, a Baby Ruth or whatnot. It's the shells of the peanut. So, you know, if you go to, like, Texas, it used to be when you go to Texas Roadhouse, you could get them on a,
yeah,
in the barrels, and you can unshell them.
Get out of here.
Somebody wants to be the third member of the podcast. So the shells are the devil. Because back in 1937, there were two crashes, and they found peanut shells at the scene of the crash. One of them was the Longhorn Speedway in Pennsylvania. So two racers went off the road. When they got there, there were shells near the wreck. And the other one was a pileup in Nashville that actually caused the death of a driver. Peanut shells were again there. I did look this up on Snopes, and Snopes is kind of suspicious because they're of the peanut thing, and they're like, well, it's because people eat peanuts, and maybe they just threw them, and that's how they ended up there, but whatever, I didn't make it up.
Yeah.
So, shit, we didn't make up.
Interesting.
A few other things, there's something like a $50 or $20 bill is considered unlucky. I guess just from the internet, one of Mario Andretti's crew would, like, shake a cigar at the car, and that was considered good luck. Rubbing heads of certain races was also considered good luck.
Interesting.
Yeah. So there you go, guys. Some things that may or may not be good luck on the track. So don't have any peanuts and shells.
Yeah.
Don't think you can buy them anywhere.
I don't think you can. Not inside the track.
I can't remember seeing them.
Yeah, I don't know but I don't really care for peanuts, I've never looked.
I wouldn't get them.
I've never looked. No. So. Very interesting. Do the holidays have you down in the dumps? Do you find that you dread seeing your family more than you actually look forward to it?
I do.
Do you have to face annoying, pointed, nosy questions from family members about what you're doing with your life?
Man, I do.
Do you know what can help?
No, tell me.
Alcohol!
Alcohol? What's that?
Alcohol. Alcohol is a wonderful drug that you can drink before, during, and after you get together with your family. And unlike other medications, you don't need a prescription for this one.
It's an over-the-counter drug?
It's an over-the-counter drug.
Oh my goodness.
And some of the benefits include not giving a fuck about what your family thinks of you, not minding that they're super annoying, and just being able to let comments roll off your back.
Oh my gosh.
You know those backhanded compliments you always get from your aunt?
Yes.
Well, you'll be able to say thank you and mean it this year.
Thanks, alcohol. Can't wait.
Merry Christmas from your friends in alcohol. All right.
Well, I guess it's time to wave the white flag.
I guess so. Let's wave the white flag. Let's wave. What do you got?
Well, I would like to give a quick shout out to Brad's Brass Flamingo. It's the strip club that I pass every time I drive home.
All right.
And today their sign said, "Welcome, PRI attendees." So there you go, Motorsports.
There you go.
The strip club near my house might have a deal for you.
They're welcoming.
You can look them up on your phone.
First I was like, are we doing a fake ad?
No! It's real. Yeah, Brad's Brass Flamingo.
Brad's Brass Flamingo.
Yeah.
All right, well.
What about you?
Nothing that risque.
I know.
Nothing that risque. My white flag is I'll be interested to see what other drivers are come up that are intending to race at some point in the next IndyCar season.
Yeah.
And I'm still looking forward to having some more announcements.
Definitely.
So, and then also, you know, always excited to learn about new things that might make the sport a little bit safer. So we don't want to cut down on the excitement of it, but we also don't want people to get injured at the same time. Yeah, so
we really like these drivers. We don't want them to see them get hurt.
We don't.
Yeah.
We don't. So I think that's it.
Alrighty. Well, thanks for listening, guys.
Have a great week.